Do you enjoy pain?
Film.
Don't hurt.
That's a really funny story, Dylan. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Film Don't Hurt, number 6 or something like that. I'm your co-host, Kai, co-founder of ManILoveFilms.com and host of the MILFcast.
Joined by Dylan Fields, co-founder of Man I Love Films. Can be found at ManILoveFilms.com.
Yeah, and it's my turn to pick a topic because Dylan's was all wandering and rambly last time. So here's what I've been thinking about, Dylan. This is a subject I've wanted to – no tangents this week. I'm going to get right in.
Oh, yeah. That's what you think.
I've wanted to talk about this for a long time, and I have a little issue I want to bring up that is somewhat relevant, has popped up recently in the media. But
sounds
for a long
lot
time,
like an
I've wanted.
STD.
Yeah, those pop up a lot, especially if you go to the Philippines. I have wanted to discuss for a long time, kind of like what the future of like home movie watching is, or movie watching in general, which is kind of an interesting topic to talk about with you because we've discussed many times that you and I have very different tastes when it comes to how we.
Yes.
Well, different philosophies, different tastes, and different ways that we watch movies.
Sure.
You are very much a theater goer.
I try to be.
And I am very much a home video watcher. I go out to the theater. I went this weekend. I saw Man of Steel finally. That was my catch-up movie. Wow. At the $2 theater. But I've been a long time. I don't even know how you feel about this, so let me just lead it off with this. Are you one of those firm believers in the movie theater experience that something special about seeing a film in theaters?
I don't get too misty-eyed for it, but yes. It's the act of going out is what it is. It's not like, oh, I just love the experience of going to the theater so much more and spending time in the audience. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, they love to hear the audience or be there in a scary movie or a comedy with the audience. I kind of get that to a certain extent, but for the most part, I would be fine if it was empty most of the time. You know me, I don't really like being near a lot of people. So, and I make a point not to sit near people when I'm at the theater, and I get pissed when they sit near me, and yada, yada, yada. But it's an event. It's going out. I mean, it might not be the most thrilling thing in the world, but for my wife and I, that's what we do a lot when we go out. We don't go hang out at a bar. We go to the movies. So, and I think it's that way for a lot of people, and that's not going to go away.
Exclude the communal experience, which we can get back to in a second. But as far as that thing where people think there is something to be – something special about a film, something that you get from a film by actually seeing it up on a theater screen, do you buy into that aspect of it?
I mean, there's something to the focus that you have to give to it, assuming you're not one of the jackasses on your phone or anything like that. When you go out and you pay and you sit in this theater and that's all that you are supposed to do there, there is – you know – There's a little more to the experience with when you think about it that way. When you're at home, you've got any number of distractions. You're not committed as much to watching it. I can always come back to it later. You don't have that when you go out to the theater. So, yes, from that aspect, you have this incentive to pay attention and to be more engrossed in it. I don't know if there's like some kind of correlation of, oh, here are the movies that I saw in a theater versus the ones I watched at home, and the ones I saw in the theater I love more, just on the whole, compared to the ones I saw at home. The quality of the film is the quality of the film. Whether there's any kind of percent that you can put on that experience, I don't know, maybe, but it's almost intangible.
And for this discussion, we're of course excluding the people that have their own home theaters, which is a whole different story. I mean, if you have theater seating and a dark room and a projection system, you obviously have a theater in your home, so that's kind of fucking irrelevant.
Yeah.
But going back to the communal thing, can you think of films where you've had a communal experience where it was made better by being around people?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I do think there is a little something to the whole scary movies, comedies thing. It's just not as big for me as it is for some people, I think. I think some people really get off on, you know, laughing with the audience when they're laughing and getting caught up in all that. I don't know if I do so much, or at least not consciously, maybe subconsciously somewhat. The one thing that comes to mind when you say that is, I don't know if it even fits into this, but I enjoyed watching Revenge of the Sith in theaters because I was sitting there picturing all the little kids that grew up with the first two, and then they had to watch this third one and watch their hero slaughtering all these children, and I just thought that was funny, like darkly wrong shit funny. So I was looking back in the theater as he was slaughtering the little Padawans to see if there were any kids crying and whatnot.
That is horrible.
I know, I'm just a terrible person.
Well, I had a good communal experience, like, with Jackass. I remember seeing the first Jackass film in a packed house, and everybody was laughing uncontrollably. I already thought, like, I still think it's a funny film. Although, the film is questionable because it's essentially an elongated television show, but whatever. I remember already laughing to the point where my cheeks hurt, and that being taken a step further by everyone around me communally laughing, but that doesn't happen for most points. What about the other thing that I hear a lot of people, like, especially because we know a lot of movie bloggers, they get really excited when they have, like, I don't know if you have this in your town, I know I do, it's where one of the local theaters, the Art House, or like the Super Saver Theater in your area, will re-show kind of classic films on the big screen.
Yeah, they
do. You guys have that out there?
Yeah. My local theater is doing a series on those right now. Vacation was playing just the other day.
Are you a fan of that?
In theory, I find that I don't take advantage of it all that much. I went and saw Ghostbusters a couple years ago when it was out, and that was cool, but I haven't done it since. If the right movie comes along at the right time, I'll do it, but I don't make a point to seek it out, I guess.
Well, something just happened here where, like, they constantly show those movies here. They have, they really push it in the summertime, kind of whenever the kids are out of school and all that stuff. But they show them late, so I never understood the point of that. But they show a lot of classic films. And recently they've gotten into more of, like, our you know, wheelhouse, the kind of the solid 80s films.
Oh, yeah.
And this week was Temple of Doom, which I'm a huge Indiana Jones fan. Raiders of the Lost Ark, my favorite film. I think Temple of Doom is... like, no one will agree with me with this, but I think it's the most watchable of the Indiana Jones films. Like, it's so bad, it's good. And I love that movie, and it was showing there, and I had no care to go see it because I own it. I've seen it 50 times. Nothing about the theater experience would get me to go see it. So I never have that kind of need to, like, have that theater experience.
If they were playing Raiders, you wouldn't make a point to go see it?
I'd like to think that I would, and I think they did this not long ago. Didn't they re-release it for, like, 30 or something like that? What is it, 80?
81.
Yeah, didn't they? Is it 81? God, that feels early. I want to say it's a little later than that. I may be wrong. anyway, like, I wouldn't rush up to see it because, like I said, it's, like, one of my favorite films of all times. I have very good memories of seeing a lot of my favorite films in theaters, but I just happen to have seen them in theaters, so I don't know that it's a theater experience. And the only reason I bring this up is because we're, like, at this really strange time with cinema, and we're getting to this point where Netflix has come along. We have the Blu-ray technology now, which is the strangest thing because I don't know about you, but here's how I've done. I kind of was, like, big on buying. I would stockpile DVDs. I was a big DVD guy. And then Blu-ray and HD came along, and I liked Blu-ray right away, and it just happened to be the one that took off. When I actually got it, I kind of held back on buying because I didn't want to buy the DVD because I'd rather have the Blu-ray. But then again, I knew with the upcoming digital film, Blu-ray was kind of a dead technology. But at the same time, I still like collecting movies, and they were expensive when they first came out. Now you can get a Blu-ray for, like, $5-6 on certain titles, but at the time, like, everything on Blu-ray was, like, $29.99,
right,
which was, like, unheard of. You get a brand new DVD for $20,
right,
like, on a big title.
This is why I never bought Blu-rays early on.
Yeah, so, and now we know that what's coming up, and, you know, Blu-ray's kind of a dead technology. I'm getting into VOD now, and with my cable company, you can buy movies digitally and own them digitally. I do like that Blu-rays have a lot of ultraviolet copies, so you can own digital copies that you can stream through your media, like your iPad, your phone,
sure,
your computer. But we're on this precipice of this change on how we intake media now. And I don't know which way it's going to go or what's going to be the ultimate answer. A lot of people thought Netflix would be, but the problem with Netflix is they haven't been welcomed with open arms by Hollywood. So, like, you're not getting all the major titles at the time of release. A lot of times, even the DVDs you get from Netflix, you have to wait up to a month before you can get them so that other avenues have an opportunity to market them before they do. So my question for you is kind of like, and I know this is a large question, so feel free to answer what you want, but like, what do you think kind of the future of like movie distribution and movie watching is going to be, and what do you think is going to be the popular way of watching movies going forward?
I don't see any fundamental changes coming. I think what we have now is probably pretty similar to what we're going to have in 10 years. I mean, the big hurdle for digital storage, I suppose, at least in terms of, you say Blu-ray's a dead technology, I mostly agree with you, but it's kept on this life support due to storage. You know, I would love to convert all of my DVDs and or Blu-rays to digital, but I don't have multiple terabytes or the hardware that can support, you know, that kind of storage. Certainly, you couldn't do it on your phone or your iPad, you know? You might be able to hold a couple movies, but that's it. Nothing of the sort of, you know, people like us are going to want. I mean, a lot of the talk's always about, oh, theater's dead, Netflix is killing it, cable's killing it. That's not really true. I know you wanted to bring up this Steven Spielberg quote and talk.
Well, yeah. Why don't we do that? Because you mentioned fundamental changes, and this came up like 2 months ago. Spielberg talking about a fairly fundamental change in theater going. This is only from June. It's not that out of date, and it didn't get like a ton of press coverage. Right. I mean, a lot of people that are in the know kind of talked about it, but. I wanted to bring it up. Do you have it, or do you want me to read it, or do you want me to mention what he said?
Yeah, I've got it.
Give me the bullet points version.
That's the big danger, and there's eventually going to be an implosion or a big meltdown. There's going to be an implosion where three or four or maybe even half a dozen mega-budget movies are going to go crashing into the ground, and that's going to change the paradigm. The thing is, I'm not exactly sure what they think is going to happen. And it should be mentioned that a lot of this, I think, was because of the experience that each of them had with their most recent... Lucas was the other one that was talking about it. Spielberg with Lincoln and Lucas with Red Tails. And Lucas goes on to say, I think eventually the Lincolns will go away and they're going to be on television. As mine almost was, Spielberg interjected. This close, asking HBO, this close. I got to get this next one just because it's really, I think, funny. We're talking Lincoln and Red Tails. We barely got them into theater. You're talking about Steven Spielberg and George Lucas can't get their movie into a theater, Lucas said. I got more people into Lincoln than you got into Red Tails, Spielberg joked.
Yeah, Spielberg took a shot at Lucas there.
Yeah, so I like that.
The funny thing, though, is like he's basically saying, like, he was mentioning that Lincoln almost became an HBO film. And that had he not co-owned a studio, essentially, it wouldn't have seen distribution.
Okay, go ahead.
No. Feel free. Jump in.
I was going to say, I'm just Dylan Fields out here. Never made a film, but I call horseshit on what they're talking about here. First of all, Lincoln had a budget of $65 million. So, no, if it wasn't Steven Spielberg, it wouldn't have gotten made. But because it had his name, yes, people were more than happy to put it out, and it made $182 million. So I don't think what they're talking about is really reality, I suppose. If some filmmaker you hadn't heard of tried to get a $65 million budget for a film like that, they'd have a hard time. Almost any filmmaker would. Tom Hooper would. And he made The King's Speech, and it made money and won Best Picture. But when you're talking about that kind of investment, any studio is going to get shaky about it. But because it was Spielberg and yada, 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 he got it made. But I don't think that is relatable to what they're talking about.
Well, let's talk about what they're talking about, because I think I'm kind of with you in that I disagree with his theory, but I understand his mathematics behind it, because what he's essentially saying is that you have all these films now that these budgets have kind of exponentially grown larger and larger. And, you know, everything gets bigger and more expensive over time. That's inflation. You know, the cost of living, all that shit goes up. But I mean, movie budgets have gotten ridiculous, even for films that aren't that great. When I hear certain films, it's almost annoying too, because when you hear that like District 9 was made for $30 million, you get pissed at $100 million sci-fi films. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now we're getting to a point where there was a time when it was astronomical to think of a $150 million movie, and now films are easily getting in the $250 million range.
Sure.
And we haven't even accounted for marketing yet, which is arguably the most expensive part of making a movie. I mean, when you're getting to that range, you're putting pictures on cups and t-shirts and things in Walmart. I mean, it gets up there. So what he's saying essentially is you look at like films like the John Carters and shit that honestly, with the exception of maybe some of the big ones like maybe Warner Brothers that has other divisions to back it up to keep it from going under, theoretically, a film could invest $1 billion in four films that tank and go under.
Except for the fact
with
that
theory, I mean,
no,
wasn't
not.
That the whole thing with wasn't that the whole thing with New Line and Lord of the Rings? Had Lord of the Rings not hit, wasn't it doomed for failure?
But it was part of Time Warner. So would New Line go away? Maybe. But would Warner Brothers be hurt? Not really.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Warner Brothers, Time Warner can spend the money on Superman, and if it doesn't take in its full money, which it probably will because it's Superman, so be it. They'll take the loss, and it hurts like a shot in the butt. But I mean, some of the smaller companies, or a majority of these good companies, don't have the same backing as companies like that. So I want to say that he's theorizing. I'm just asking you.
But hasn't that happened for decades, where you'll have a company that you know is making small films on small budgets? They'll eventually get some mid-sized hits. They'll raise their budgets. Once in a while, they'll take a shot at a home run. And if to continue the analogy or metaphor, if they strike out, it'll kill them. Isn't that what happened to like Carol Co?
Yeah, oh, there's countless of the smaller ones. I want to say like Screen Gems, maybe a bad example, but you know, like all those little ones you see at the beginning of movies that are subsidiaries of the bigger companies. But I mean, I guess the most recent example would be something like MGM, which has a long story history. They even had titles like James Bond on its back.
Bankrupt every time a James Bond movie comes out, even though they know they're guaranteed to make 200-400% on their investment. I don't know. I never understand how they're always bankrupt. It must be the most worst managed company in the world.
True, but they're essentially gone now, right? They sold their catalog. They're done.
I have no idea. Whatever happened, it's their own damn fault. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
They have this cash cow every 3 years, and if they can't subside on that, then they got problems, man.
But could you understand my idea behind... I mean, these companies, while they have a lot of money, I mean, we're not talking billions of dollars. And if you sink money into three big films at $250 million that don't recoup, you could be looking at a company that could go underwater, with the exception of the big ones.
But I think that...
Like a Universal.
That just proves what we were just agreeing on, which is that this is nothing new. What's new about this? This happened before, it happens now. The budgets are bigger now, but the box offices are bigger now. And you know what they don't talk about is foreign sales, which have like expanded exponentially.
Become the most important.
Yeah.
Become the most thing, yeah.
Which is why all we see are big budget action films anymore, pretty much, because that's what sells overseas. I was trying to find a good comparison. Like, I know off the top of my head that Iron Man 3 made about $400 million domestically and about $800 million overseas. So it made...
Yes, it traveled well.
It's a 1-to-2 relationship there. I was trying to find some old film. Top Gun made $180 domestically in 1986, which was a mega hit in 1986. And it made the exact same amount overseas. Today, that movie makes twice as much as it did overseas.
Yeah, we'll find out when they do the quasi-sequel, where Maverick is essentially Tom Skerritt. But, okay, so theoretically you call bullshit on that aspect of their argument. Let's go to the next step of their argument. That film is going to take transport itself back in time to, and I know you remember this because you're roughly my age, like films like, the one that always stands out in my head is like the big tentpole of my youth was kind of Batman, 1989. That thing was number one in theaters for weeks and lasted in theaters for months.
Yeah.
And I think the one they reference in the story is the fact that E.T. was in theaters for a year and 4 months or something ridiculous. Something that would never happen. Like, basically now, like, the last big one I can think of is Titanic, which may have gone about 3 or 4 months. may have gone 3 or 4 months at number one, may have stayed in theaters for 6 months. But doesn't
only
happen
anymore. Only because it opened in, like, February, too.
Yeah, basically now you're shooting for opening weekend box office and then DVD sales. Right?
Right.
You're lucky if you get number one film in America 2 weeks in a row. You see those commercials every now and then. Or number one comedy in America. That kind of shit. So essentially what they're saying is that because these theaters are going to fail, we're going to go back to a time where the theaters are going to have to change the experience completely, and we're going to have to essentially have these almost like these theater experiences where less movies will be released and you will get them for longer runs. They'll be in theaters for months on end. You'll pay more to see them, and it'll become more like a casual dining experience almost. Is that what you surmise from it?
Well, I got the part about the, I don't know about the dining, but I got the part about premium prices, essentially. So you'll pay $20 to see Iron Man 3 and $10 to see Lincoln, for example.
Yes.
Could it go down that route? I suppose. I don't know how much.
I don't have a problem with that necessarily.
I don't either. I just don't know how well it's going to take off because it creates an atmosphere where the customer is meant to think that something is worthless. And filmmakers and studios, I don't think, are really going to want to do that for a lot of things.
All right, let's ask it on this level, because now you have these independent filmmakers. The need for independent filmmaking has kind of come to become this. You get a New York and LA release, a brief shot where you get like major theaters in two major cities, and then you go to basically VOD sales. And early response to that was not very good. The filmmakers were not making good returns. I've heard from some filmmakers that we've talked to on my other podcast. And I've heard interviews with people like, yeah, they love it. Edward Burns, they have more of a stake in their film, and the VOD does really well for them. And if the film does well, sometimes they'll get like more of a release of the film. You also hear these grassroots projects like Mike Birbiglia had that Sleepwalk With Me movie, which was very good, actually. And he kind of took it on, did the George Romero thing, took it around, drove it around theaters, did Q&As, things like that, to kind of expand it and get people in the theaters to see it. What does that do to like people like them? I mean, is that a good thing for them? Does that offer them a chance to say, okay, well, Avengers is $20, Lincoln is $7. You can come see, like, we spoke with Blaine Weaver, our buddy over on MILFcast, had a movie 6 month roll that we liked. Do I pay $2 to see his theater, but he gets a theatrical release? Is that good for him, or is VOD the future?
I don't know, to be honest, to answer either of those questions. I think VOD is here to stay in some capacity. There's just so much content that if you want your film to be seen at all, you're going to be happy to take that route because it's better than nothing. I mean, just the number of films out there potentially is so much that the theaters can't hold them, and there's not demand for the theaters to hold them. So, yeah, I don't think VOD is going anywhere. I also don't think it's replacing too much of the theater-going experience. And I guess by extension of that, yes, it's good for the filmmakers because they get something. And I'm still a little sketchy on the premium prices. I think it'll happen to an extent, but I don't think it'll be dramatic. It won't be $20.
Isn't 3D essentially what that is right now?
Yeah, and they're probably trying to replace that because 3D is waning at this point. But it's not going to be $20 for one and $2 for another. I could see it maybe being $12.50 for one and $10 for another, and maybe $7.50 for another, something like that. Baby steps, and if it takes off, maybe they'll expand it beyond that. But I can't really see that. I wanted to go back really quick. Just the whole Spielberg Lucas thing combined with VOD. There's always this talk of it's doom and gloom for just the theater-going experience. Everyone thinks theaters are going to be gone in 10, 15 years, right? You've heard that, right?
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I wanted to call major bullshit on. Because when you brought this up, that was the first thing I did after reading their comments, was I was curious, you know, every year it's always about box office sales were up, biggest year ever, which is always a bunch of BS because ticket prices and inflation rise that. I wanted to know what ticket sales were like. How many tickets have been sold? You always hear about records in terms of numbers of units. 2013, 2012 are going to sell more tickets than any year from 1997 and prior, or maybe 1996 and prior. So this whole thing about theaters
more
going
tickets,
away,
not more money.
More tickets. More tickets. Okay. There's a period from 1997 to 2009 where all those years are higher than the last three. But go back far enough, and the last three beat all of those. So what does that tell you? It tells me that there was a boom in the late 90s and early 2000s, maybe due to the economy, maybe due to God knows what. Better quality? I don't know. But the interest in going to the theater has not gone down, and when you throw in the fact that the Netflix and the VOD and all this other stuff is there, and it's still maintaining that level,
that there is a market.
That there's absolutely a market. If not a bigger market, it's just, you know, it's been fractured a little bit, but my God. I mean, I guess some of this you could also throw on, if you really want to get into the numbers, you could say, well, look at the population in 1995 compared to 2013. So on a per population level, it probably is lower.
Anthropology studies.
Yes, yes, yes. But the larger point of the theaters and theaters going away, I think that's horseshit. Call me in 20 years. If the numbers are half what they are now, I'll buy it.
Well, I feel like there was years – you mentioned those, but I also remember because I read, you know, the lovely Entertainment Weekly that you love so much. I remember there were several years there in the late aughts. I don't even know what you call the first 10 years of the fucking century. It's not like the 20s. What do you call them? The aughts?
Sure.
Are they the aughts? Okay. Oh. In the late aughts, I feel like every summer it was like, well, ticket sales are down this summer from last summer. And ticket sales are down. And then there was kind of this splurge of like – comic book and nerdy shit that came out that kind of drove it back up. But I never felt like the differential was low enough to where even if it was down, it was going to like...
It's like 5%.
Yeah, you're not going to lose theater goers. I mean, that's not going to happen. You know, even me who doesn't like going to the theater, I prefer the home experience. I still am going to go to the theater several times a year. And I'm one of, as you said, billions of people on this earth. So it's kind of ridiculous to me. But, I wanted to go back to the other thing we were talking about, which was VOD. Do you have – because you're a DirecTV guy, right?
I am. And I do finally have access to on-demand films, but I do not ever purchase through DirecTV.
How does that work with DirecTV? Because when I had DirecTV years ago, it was just – you basically was there was pay-per-view.
Isn't that what on-demand is? At least in terms of the ones you have to pay for? It's different.
Essentially, I guess. I remember them being more expensive. I also have like on demand now with my premium channels and my non-premium channels where I can basically watch anything that's on any of those channels at any time.
I have that as well.
But I also have what you consider the VOD for these littler films that we're talking about where I have access to. Like right now, there's a movie I'm very interested in seeing with Casey Affleck, Mara Rooney, Ben Foster called, what is it? Ain't Them Body Saints?
Correct.
All Them Body Saints?
Ain't Them Body Saints.
Oh, dear God. Okay. Yeah. I can see that film right now at the same time that it's in theaters. Do you have that option on yours?
I would assume so. I haven't even looked.
Okay. Let me get into that because years ago they had talked about maybe offering the problem with these on-demand these VOD services, I'll call VOD these films that they're showing the same time as they're in theaters that they're on demand, okay? So you can lose the experience of having to chase these out at your art house cinemas, or if you don't have an art house cinema in your town, you can watch these films at home. The problem is it's kind of the same thing problem I have with Netflix in that the selection is few and far between, and it tends to focus with particular, you know, this isn't applied to Netflix, but to VOD, the smaller films like Ain't Them Body Saints or whatever. So you can pay to see a film that I really wouldn't want to run out to the theater and see. Now, had they offered Avengers last year for me, or what's a huge movie you wanted to see in the last few years, Dylan, that you had to see in theater? What was one?
Dark.
Were really big, I know, on the Brad Pitt movie from last year, but what's another one?
What? We'll say Dark Knight Rises.
Okay, Dark Knight. You were really big about Killing Them Softly.
I was.
I remember
I
you
still
were
haven't seen
to
it.
You still, what the fuck? Don't bother. All right, so Dark Knight Rises. Let's say that in lieu of going to the theater and paying, what, 12 to 15 a ticket? 10 to 15 a ticket? You could pay $30 and watch it in your house the same week as it, same weekend it comes out in theaters.
No, not happening.
Why not?
Because I'm going to the theater.
I like the idea. Yeah, but I like the idea. Okay, let's... How do I make this more...
I guess they phrased it... Their thinking was, you know, you get a family of four or whatever, and you charge $30.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It makes sense for me. If I go to a basic movie, only buy popcorn and a couple sodas, we all share fucking sodas, I'm looking at $80 to $100, and I got to get dressed and go out and sit next to a guy that's going to crunch his popcorn too loud.
I just wouldn't do it on principle. It's perceived value. I can wait.
See, and I don't feel like that. I feel like it's the same as paying for a UFC fight and having all your friends come over.
See, I don't. It's not a big enough event, I suppose. And I don't really do those kind of things either because I think they're a waste of money. You could just go to a bar and probably spend less on alcohol than you would on, you know, buying the boxing match. I just want to let you know, I could watch Ain't Them Body Saints for $7.99.
So it's a little hard to get. It's a local bar. Let's put it that way. I like the idea. Okay. Let's go back to one other thing you were talking about, which was kind of the future of movie watching, movie owning. And you had mentioned kind of not having enough storage or terabytes to kind of have like a decent film library.
Yeah.
What about this sort of like ultraviolet idea, this cloud storage idea, this online storage idea? See, because my cable company... I have a box, and I have a DVR, and I record all my shit. And then every time my fucking box fails or they upgrade me, they send me a new one, and I lose all my fucking DVR and everything. All my shows that I plan to record and everything I have.
Just happened to me twice.
Yeah, and it's a pain in the fucking ass. I just had to I missed the first episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia because my DVR didn't know to record it last week. So I'm tentative about my cable company, along with On Demand, offers you the opportunity to buy digital copies of the film. But I figure if I ever switch back to DirecTV or another company, I'm going to lose those copies of the film. So what is the fucking point? Essentially, that makes me have to stay a customer, and I don't like to be tied down like that.
Exactly.
I do like the ultraviolet copies because I have access to that on all my devices, and it's somewhere on the internet. I don't even know where they keep it. But I can go in, type in a password, log into account. There it is.
You don't have to download those. You're basically streaming them through their websites.
You basically own a digital copy that you stream. And there are sometimes, like my phone sometimes will have a little bit of buffering issues. My iPad does pretty good. I don't really have any problems with that. But essentially, let's just go with that idea because ultimately, why I was saying Blu-ray's dead, I think that's kind of the future of what we're looking at.
I like that better, but I would still I guess if it's something that comes with the Blu-ray, yes, it's good because you still have the Blu-ray. But I don't like that you're still tied to the company, and God forbid should Warner Brothers go out of business, then what? Now you're going to lose 50 titles from your library or 100 titles from your library. I don't like that uncertainty.
So that server is mine and I own it. Think of it like the cloud. Think of it like what's happened with music. I mean, CDs are fucking dead. They don't exist anymore. I have a bunch of music that I can't physically touch. I think that's the next step in movies.
I just want it something where I still hold the digital copy. I don't want them to hold it. And they want to hold it because they're worried about piracy and whatnot. And I understand that, but... I still buy CDs, and I store them, and it's not just because I like to have my bookshelf full of CDs. It's that fear of something should happen, whatever. I want to still own whatever it is, and I'm the same way with movies. Now, I've gotten complacent with Netflix and whatnot, where I just don't buy anything, but that's also because of the whole hardware-software issue and storage, and... I'm not going to start buying things, digital or otherwise, until my laptop can hold 5 terabytes or something like that, and I can safely store them all there and not have to worry about any companies going under or being shady or whatever. I want to hold them.
Well, and I feel like that is not as far... Like, you mentioned not seeing any major changes in the next 10 years. I feel like that's short-sighted. I feel like we're... way closer to a big change than we anticipate. I mean, look how quick Blockbuster went away, like gone.
No, I meant, when I say that, I mean in terms of the theater-going experience.
They became irrelevant. So I really feel like, same with CD Store. I mean, the Warehouse and Tower Records and all that shit just went away overnight to the point where my kids don't even know what the fuck it is. So I really feel like we're on the precipice of that happening, and we are less, I feel like technology is moving so fast nowadays, we're going to have 5 terabyte computers in a year or two.
And we might,
you know what I mean?
I still don't think that's going to change the way we watch movies all that much. We're still, you know, even in the 80s, you bought VHS copies. You bought this. Okay, so now you're buying a digital copy. That's not changing. The people that want to go to the theater still want to go to the theater, which I think we've established.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of fundamental change I don't see coming. As it pertains to the medium of our home libraries, yes, I agree with you. That is going to change.
Okay, I guess that's what I'm getting at. I feel like, yes, I'm with you. I don't know that the way that we watch movies is going to change. I do feel like VOD in general is going to take a leap forward in the years to come, and I do feel like something's going to come along. It's either going to be some sort of like Apple box that we keep next to our TV that stores all our digital copies of everything we own, like an iPod for your television.
Yeah.
Something like that is going to come along, and it's going to wipe out Blu-rays and everything that we physically touch, the same way music, iTunes did with the...
And I would be all for that.
I would too, and I feel like Netflix, if it doesn't kind of take over the rental market completely, it's going to be the step to the next step. It's going to be the model that was used. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like, Apple's going to come along and bully them completely out of the way, just like they did with music, or something along those lines. I don't know. But I really think we're going to get to strictly digital, and I think the VOD experience is going to increase, but I don't think we're going to see theaters go away anytime soon. I think that's here to stay.
I agree. Seems like a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we do our takeaways, Dylan? Go ahead.
My takeaway is that George Lucas was going to have a hard time releasing Red Tails because it was apparently a piece of shit.
Red Tails was bad. My takeaway is Dylan still buys CDs. That's going to wrap it up for this week, you guys. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care, everybody. I am Kai Parker.
I'm Dylan Fields. Vaya con Dios.